الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، dear brothers, حياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to this session of رياض الصالحين, and we are still with the chapter of repentance, and we are today with the hadith number 21. This is very important hadith that contains a lot of benefits. The hadith is a long hadith, and it is known by the hadith of the three men whom the Prophet ﷺ delayed the ruling in regard to what they have done until the revelation came with. And the hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim and agreed upon on the authority of Abdullah ibn Ka'b ibn Malik, Abdullah the son of Ka'b ibn Malik. وَكَانَ قَائِدَ الْكَعْب, and he was the one who served and guide Ka'b, as Ka'b was blind at that time, at that age, when he was old. He was his son Abdullah, who was the one who leads him to where he needs to go. He used to take him from his arm and lead him to where he needs to go. He said, Abdullah ibn Ka'b said, سمعت Ka'b ibn Malik رضي الله عنه يحدث بحديثه حين تخلف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك. He said, I hear Ka'b ibn Malik narrating the story of his remaining behind instead of joining the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم when he left for the battle of Tabuk. قال كعب لم أتخلف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة الغزاء إلا في غزوة تبوك. He said, كعب said, I accompanied the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in every expedition which he undertook, except the battle of Tabuk. غير أني قد تخلفت في غزوة بدر ولم يعاتب أحد تخلف عنه, إنما خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والمسلمون يريدون عير قريش حتى جمع الله بينهم وبين عدوهم على غير ميعاد. He said, I've never been absent from any battle that the Prophet ﷺ committed, except for this one, Tabuk, the battle of Tabuk, and the battle of Badr. Why he joined, why he did not say, except the battle of Tabuk and Badr? It is because, as he explained, he said, the battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come out of Medina for fighting. Him and the believers, the companions, went to capture the caravan of Quraysh. And we know that Quraysh has tossed them very severely, and they took their money and houses and everything in Mecca. So it is from justice that they captured the caravan which is going for Quraysh, which is going to Quraysh. So when they came
came out of Medina to Badr, they did not plan to fight. There was no plan for fighting. And that's why they did not prepare for fighting. They were not prepared for fighting. Up until Allah Ta'ala decreed it that the caravan of Quraysh under the leadership of Abu Sufyan, who was kafir at that time, before he embraced Islam, he knew, and he was a very clever man. He heard of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions coming to capture the caravan, so he went deep towards the sea from Badr, or before Badr. He, instead of coming across the desert, close to Mecca, he took a longer way, but saw the Prophet ﷺ and whoever with him do not know where they are. So he drove the caravan down to the sea instead of going to the desert. So he drove it to the sea, and he then drove by the coast until he reached somewhere like Juhfa, and then he came to the middle of the desert going to Mecca. At that time, the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba did not see nothing. Abu Sufyan already sent someone for help from Mecca. The Mecca people came out with 1,000 armed fighters. So when they met in Badr, in the place called Badr, there Allah Ta'ala decreed that they meet there and they fight. And the Sahaba were 317. Most of them were not equipped for fighting, but Allah Ta'ala supported them with the angels. So he gave them the victory against Quraysh. So Ka'b ibn Malik is saying that two battles I did not attend. One was optional. It wasn't for fighting. It wasn't a battle at the beginning. So whomever is willing to go to the caravan and have some money, has done. It's not a fight. It's a kind of revenge more than anything else. Otherwise, everyone will go. Will have to go. But in the battle of Tabuk, he did not go. And he knew that this is a battle for fighting. He said, وَلَقَدْ شَهِدْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَيْلَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ حِينَ تَوَاثَقْنَا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لِي بِهَا مَشْهَدَ بَدْرٍ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ بَدْرُ أَذْكَرُ فِي النَّاسِ مِنْهَا. Look to this. He said, as for the battle of Badr, nobody was blamed for remaining behind as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims when they set out had in view only the waylaying of the caravan of Quraysh. Allah made them comfort their enemies unexpectedly, that means in Badr, as we said. And then he said, I have the honor of being with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the night of Aqaba. Night of Aqaba. Aqaba is, Jamratul Aqaba in Mina. The Jamratul Aqaba, the great Jamra. This pledge was there. This pledge was confirmed there. He said, when we pledge our allegiance, the agreement between the Prophet ﷺ and the people of Medina, Ansar, the allegiance to Islam, and it was dearer to me than
participating in the Battle of Badr. Although Badr was more well known among the people than that pledge. You know, the pledge of Aqaba is more important to Islam than the Battle of Badr, and more rewardable than the Battle of Badr. But why people only remember the Battle of Badr? Because it's a battle. But that pledge wasn't known, right? And he's saying that that pledge for me is more preferable than the Battle of Badr. But people only remember the Battle of Badr, because that, the pledge of Medina, of Aqaba, was the principles for the migration of Rasulullah ﷺ to Medina. Now we have supporters in some place other than Mecca. So when the people of Mecca, because he went to Taif, no one welcomed him. Now these people came from Medina for Hajj, and they welcomed Rasulullah ﷺ. They said to him, "We agree with you that we support you like we support our family. You come." So which is more worthy? Of course this, because this pleased Rasulullah ﷺ. No. And it's a kind of support to make him more stronger. He said, and this is the account of my staying behind the Messenger of Allah on the occasion of the Tabuk battle. He is now going to tell us why he did not join Rasulullah ﷺ when he went for the Battle of Badr. He said, I never had better means and more favorable circumstances than at the time of the of this campaign. He, in that battle of Badr, of Tabuk, he was more rich, more comfortable. He did not need nothing. More strong than any time before. So he continues saying, in addition, by Allah, he's swearing, I had never before possessed two riding camels. He said, I never had in my ownership, I never owned two camels for riding at a time, ever in my life, except in that time. It means that he did not stay behind the Prophet ﷺ because he did not find a camel to ride. No, he had two instead of one. Okay? He said, as I did during the time of the of this expedition. Whenever the Messenger of Allah ﷺ decided to go on a campaign, he would not disclose his real objective till the last moment of the departure. Yani Rasulullah ﷺ, for example, he wanted to come from Medina to conquer Jeddah. For example, what villages or towns he will pass by when he is coming to Jeddah? Many. Rabigh, Yanbu'a, this. He maybe say, we are going to conquer Jeddah. Or he says, we're going to the way of Jeddah. Like that, not a lie. We're going to the way of Jeddah. So the people think that, oh, he's going to conquer Jeddah. Why? But he, in fact, he wanted to go to Yanbu'a, not to Jeddah. So why he did that? Because of the spies, not to go and tell the people of Yanbu'a, oh, Rasulullah is coming to you. So they will go to the people of Jeddah. So the people of Jeddah get ready to fight. But the people of Yanbu'a do not know. So he come and sit in the people of Yanbu'a. This was the way of Rasulullah, except for this exhibition.
except for this exhibition. When he was going out to Tabuk, he told him what his plan. But on this exhibition, he set out in extremely hot weather. The journey was long, and the train and the terrain was waterless desert. So they were going to cut a long desert in the summertime. It is hot, dusty, no water, and long distance. From Medina to Tabuk is a real long distance. And he said then, the journey was long, and the terrain was waterless desert, and he had to face a strong enemy, their root. So he informed the Muslims about the actual position so that they should make full preparation for the campaign. Look, he told them this time, he told them exactly where he is going, his destination. He told them his destination. Why? Because it is a difficult journey. Then he said, and the Muslims who accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time were in large number, but no proper record of them was maintained. Meaning, it was a large number, but not yani figured exactly how many there were. Ka'b ibn Malik further said, few were the persons who chose to remain absent, believing that they could easily hide themselves and thus remain undetected. They think, and some people, because most of the people in Medina left, most of the men in Medina left, it is easily, when most of the men left, it is easily to know if Ahmed is here or not. Because you're going to see him. Not much men in the city remaining. So he's saying that whoever wanted to be there, he could be seen. Or, sorry, he said, difficulty would be known that he is there. He left. Meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the journey he cannot figure out, but the people in Medina can. Why? Because in Medina not much men left behind, very few men, but in the journey too many men. So it is difficult to know who come, who did not come. But in Medina it is easy to know who remain, right? So he said, unless revelation from Allah the Exalted and Glorious came, yani with the news, meaning, yani the revelation came with the news that some people did not join the journey. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit out on this exhibition when the fruit were ripe and their shadows had lengthened, meaning it was in the best time of the farmers. It is the time of harvest because the dates now are ripe. It's in the summer, and in the summer the dates get ripe. So if they go in this journey and come back, they might find the dates either been taken or damaged. So he said that time people who have small iman decided not to go, fearing that they lose their fruits. Right? And he said, I had
a weakness for them, and it was during this season that يعني he said, this fruit I love the most. I had a weakness to leave them and go. Right? Now, he said, I had a weakness for them, and it was during this season that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims made preparations. I also would sit out in the morning to make preparations along with them, but would come back having done nothing, and said to myself, I have means enough to make preparation as soon as I write. Yani, in the morning, he said, in the night, he said, khalas, in the morning, I will prepare myself and go with them. When the morning came, he said, well, I'm still able to prepare myself anytime and catch them, even if they gone forth. You know? So, he said, I have enough. And I went on, continuing meaning, doing this, meaning postponing my preparation. Every other time, in the night he said, in the morning he said, in the afternoon he said, in the evening, like that. Till the time of departure came, and it was in the morning. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out along with the Muslims, but I had made no preparations as for yet. I would go early in the morning and come back, but with no decision. I went on doing so until they, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, hastened and covered a good deal of distance. They have gone far away. Then I wished to march on and join them. Would that I had done that, but perhaps it was not destined for me. Meaning the qadr wasn't for him to go out. So continuing the story, he said, after the departure of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever I went out, I was grieved to find no good example to follow, but confirmed hypocrites. Then when the Rasulullah and the army left, he said to himself, let me go out in the streets, maybe I find good Sahaba still remaining. So at least I say, not me alone. But he said, every time I go out, I only see the hypocrites. I never saw a good believer like me. So this made him to feel sorry very highly. He said, all weak people, meaning those who have excuses not to join the army on the bottom, whom Allah had exempted from marching forth with Rasulullah for jihad. The Messenger of Allah made no mention of me until he reached Tabuk. Then he did not ask about Ka'b. He did not remember him. He did not think that Ka'b is not with them. He all the time Rasulullah thought that Ka'b is with them. But because the army was in a big number, maybe he's there here. It's difficult to find everyone. But when Rasulullah reached Tabuk, he didn't ask about Ka'b. Where's Ka'b? He said, while he was sitting with the people in Tabuk, he said, what happened to Ka'b ibn Malik? I can't see him. What happened to Ka'b ibn Malik? A person from Banu Salima, one of the tribe of Al-Ansar in Medina. They used to live where Masjid al-Qiblatain today. You know Masjid al-Qiblatain in Medina? That area was their places, their homes and houses. Now, he said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, the beauty of his cloak and an appreciation of his finery have a root and detain him. Look to this. This statement wasn't liked by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How come he speaks like this about Ka'b ibn Malik? He's a great companion. So how come this man from Bani Salim speak like that about him, saying that, oh, he used to look in his clothes, how beautiful they are, and he used to look to his family, and he was busy with that, not to go with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like that from him to be saved. Upon this, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, one of the Al-Anfar also, Mu'adh ibn Jabal is well known, admonished this person and said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, he's swearing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, we know nothing about him, meaning Ka'b, but good. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, kept quiet. He did not say nothing to neither one. At that time, he, the Prophet ﷺ, saw a person dressed in white and said, and the Prophet ﷺ, he saw a man far away who cannot recognize who he is, but he was in white clothes. So the Prophet ﷺ then said, be Abu Khaytaba. It's not a command, because the command with B is for whom? Huh? Who can command by B, so it be? Allah alone is the one who say to anything B, and it be. When Rasulullah ﷺ said to this person that he cannot recognize, when he said to him, B, Abu Khaytama, he did not mean that be of Allah, it means a dua. Oh Allah, make him to be Abu Khaytama. Oh Allah, make him to be Abu Khaytama. So, and it was he, Abu Khaytama. Now, is this a dua? If it is a dua, could that person was someone else, and when the Rasulullah made dua, a change to Abu Khaytama? No. But if it was a dua, then it means that Allah Ta'ala made it to be Abu Khaytama from the beginning. But it could be a kind of informing from the Prophet ﷺ to the Sahaba by what came to him through the revelation. Allah revealed it to him that this man is Abu Khaytama. So he said, be Abu Khaytama. Could be this, could be dua. Either one is possible. So Abu Khaytama al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the person who had contributed a far of dates. Now he's describing one of the merits of Abu Khaytama. Who's Abu Khaytama? One day the Prophet ﷺ saw some of the Muslims came in a poor looking, really poor. So Isa Salam stood and he said to the Sahaba, donate anything. No one donated until Abu Khaytama was the first one. He brought a sa' of dates. And was ridiculed by the hypocrites. The Abakar said, they mocked him. What is this? What kind of fa'ul they do for these people? Huh? They're mocking, they said, is Ka'b ibn Malik further said, when the news reached me that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his way back from Tabuk, they already finished the battle and they're coming back. He said, I was greatly distressed. And I thought of fabricating a story and asked myself how I would save myself from his anger the next day. when he comes the next day. How can I save myself from his anger? He's going to be angry because I did not join them. So how can I save? Let me fabricate a story, an excuse. Huh? And then he said, look, he said, I thought, he said, in this connection, I sought the counsels of every prudent member of my family when I was told that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to arrive. All the wicked ideas vanished from my mind. All the wet ideas vanished from my mind. And I came to the conclusion that nothing but the truth could save me. And this is very important. Nothing but the truth could save me. Always. Always speak the truth, be safe. Speak the truth, be safe. Always. Do not try to lie or to cheat or to deceive, but be always and speak always the truth and be straight. He said, so I decided to tell him the truth. And was in the morning that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina. It was his habit, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever he come back from a journey, he would first go to the masjid. He would first go to the mosque before he go to his houses. Look to this, subhanAllah. His houses are very adjacent to the mosque, same wall. But he does not go to the families, to his houses. But he begin with the people. He come to the masjid to meet the people. And afford two rak'ah. And pray two rak'ah of optional prayers. And would then sit with the people. When he sat, those who had remained behind him began to put forward their excuses and take an oath before him. Yani they swear, Allah ya Rasulullah, these are the hypocrites. Allah ya Rasulullah, I was sick. Allah ya Rasulullah, this, you know, these are hypocrites. They were more than 80 in number. These people, there were more than 80 in number. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted the excuses on the very face of them and accepted their allegiance and sought forgiveness for them and left their secret intentions to Allah. Why? He knew that these hypocrites, why he sought forgiveness for them, because he knew that Allah would not forgive them. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want to cause a split in the ummah. So I said, okay. Now, until Ka'b is continuing saying, until I appeared before him, I greeted him and he smiled. And there was a change of anger in that. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to me, come forward. I went forward and I sat in front of him. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, what kept you back? Simple question. What kept you back? You are not from them. You can't know that you are not from those ones. Hypocrites. You are a believer. Why did you not come? Look. Could you not afford to go in front and in for a ride? Yani, is it the reason you did not find a ride? I said, O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, if I were to sit before anybody else, meaning other than you, a man of the world, meaning a king, I would have definitely saved my face from his anger on one pretext or the other. And by a way or another, I will find how to save myself. And I have a gifted skill in argumentation. But by Allah forward before you a false excuse to please you, Allah would definitely provoke your words upon me. Meaning Allah will be angry and Allah Ta'ala would then make you to hate me. In case I speak the truth, you may be angry with me, but I hope that Allah would be pleased with me and accept my repentance. By Allah, there is no veiled excuse for me. There is no valid excuse for me. But by Allah, I never possessed so good means and I never had such favorable conditions for me as I had when I stayed behind you. Thereupon, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man spoke the truth about Ka'b. He said, this man spoke the truth. Now, and you understand it how you want to understand it. It means those ones who came before him were not honest, because they were hypocrites. But him, no, he's a believer. So get up, Isa said to Ka'b. So get up and wait until Allah gives a decision about you. Ka'b said, I left and some people of Salima followed me. They said to me, by Allah, we do not know that you committed a sin before. You, however, showed inability to put forward an excuse before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like those who stayed behind him. It would have been enough for the forgiveness of your sin that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have sought forgiveness for you. You could have said anything, even a lie, and Allah, the Messenger of Allah would be pleased, and then he say, oh Allah, forgive him. So this lie would be forgiven. But look to the believer how to think. He said, by Allah, they kept reproaching me until I thought of going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and retract my confession. He said, I would have gone back to Rasulullah said, they spoke to me, blaming, up until I was about to be convinced to go back to Rasulullah, and I would have said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I did not tell you the truth. I wasn't able. But look, he said, then I said to them, has anyone else met the same fate? They said, yes, two persons have made the same fate. They made the same statement as you did, and the same verdict was delivered in their case. I asked, Ka'b asked, who are they? They said, Umayyah. They said, Umayyah, Murara ibn Rabi' al-Amri, and Ilal ibn Umayyah al-Waqifi. Murara ibn Rabi' al-Damri, and هلال ابن أمية الواقفي. They mentioned those two pious persons who had taken part in the battle of Badr, and there was an example of for me in them. He said, there were enough examples for me to keep quiet, not to go and tell a lie. Why should I tell a lie? There are two good pious people having the same case of mine, so I will wait as they are. He said, I was confirmed in my original resolve. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the Muslims to take with the three, to talk with the three of us. From amongst those persons who had stayed behind him, meaning all those 80 hypocrites, they lived normally. Except these three, Rasulullah said, these three, you all Muslims, do not speak to them. Do not give them salam. Look to that. The people began to avoid us, and their attitude towards us underwent a change, and it seemed as if the whole atmosphere had turned hostile against us. And it was, in fact, the same atmosphere of which I was fully aware and in which I had lived for a fairly long time. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَبَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. Their souls become so narrow for them to live on the earth. We spent 50 nights in this very state, and my two friends confined themselves with their houses and spent most of their time weeping. As I was the... Wait, you think it is better we continue next session, inshallah? Huh? We still have the same length of what we passed. Next, inshallah. So next, inshallah, we continue on Tuesday to get the benefits of this story, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.